Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Tuesday. It is October 1st, 2019, and I believe we've just entered into a very intense moment in the economy of heaven. We are now in the first day of the 10 days of awe, according to rabbinical teaching, and we are streaming live on Facebook. I really believe that God is setting the platform for his people all over the world to broadcast these end time messages to the ends of the earth. Until we can no longer use the platforms safely, we're going to use the platforms wisely. And we again are wanting to just make sure that we're broadcasting live. So to our friends out on Blog Talk Radio, I know that we are ready to go there. And on Facebook, looks like we have Kevin joining us here. Blessed morning to him. Looks like we're coming through live, loud and clear on the Facebook page. So we want to get going this morning, and I want to share with you something that is in my spirit, and that is that everything is being brought to a crisis. Everything is being brought to a crisis. Consider that statement. You know, I found that in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, many, many years ago, that in the last days, the book of Revelation, which is a prophecy, would begin with everything in creation, literally, being brought to crises. And that's everything in the book of Revelation that it mentions. And in the first three verses of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we have this understanding that the crisis that is being brought together always is met with an opportunity. And that is what is called a kairos moment. A kairos moment in the Greek, it's kairos. And what that actually is referring to is opportunity in the midst of a crisis. And that word kairos is the word we have for time. There are actually two Greek words that we use for time. And one of those Greek words is kairos, and the other is the chronos. And chronos time in the Greek is our linear time. That's when things are linear. We have from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus, 2,000 years. From Jesus to, to the year 2000, another 2,000 years. That's where we get our 6,000 years on linear time. That's the chronos time. And yet in the kairos, this is God's eternal time. There is no minute, second, hour, day type of thinking. In the Kairos, it's whenever God declares something to be rich or something to be of an opportune season, a set time or an appointed time. This is Kairos. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we're told about this Kairos moment, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But this prophecy, known as the book of Revelation, is set for a moment in the history of the world when God says, it's time, it's Kairos. This is the ripe season. This is the exact moment that I have set to begin to release things. Now, you find that with our Lord Jesus Christ, and you remember that for 4,000 years, Yeshua was the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy. And we remember that since the Garden of Eden, going all the way back to Genesis, about the first prophecy about he will bruise your heel and you will crush his head, that there's a prophecy there about the one that would come. And for 4,000 years, through the prophets, through the judges, through all different epochs of time in different ways and different manners, through Israel, and they prophesied Messiah would come. And along the way of 4,000 years, there were those that appeared to be the Messiah. There were those that shimmered and glimmered and looked like they were the ones. And there were those that proclaimed to be the one. There was a whole bunch of that going on, but the genuine Messiah had not yet come. Had not yet come. And so the exact time came in the economy of heaven where God said, now is the time. And so we read in Galatians chapter 4, and I could just get there to you. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. This is Galatians chapter 4. So that word time again is the Kairos, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. And I want you to notice that that word time there is singular. It's singular. It's not times. When you get to Ephesians chapter 1, you get the in the dispensation of the fullness of times, plural, that God will gather to get together everything. But the dispensation of the fullness of time, going back to the birthing of Jesus Christ into the earth, is referring to a time on the earth 2,000 years ago where everything was brought to a crisis. And think about it. Two-thirds of the people of Israel were demonically possessed. Jesus spent two-thirds of his ministry healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, proclaiming the word of God. The Romans had dominated the region. The Israelis were under the controlling power of the Roman Empire. The Maccabees were doing everything that they could to war against these Romans. And so it was a time of real crises. And yet in that dispensation of the fullness of time, when God said, now is a ripe season, now is the opportune moment, God sent Yeshua at a time of crises. And yet in the midst of a crisis, according to the same definition, there's always an opportunity for God to be glorified. And there's no doubt that God was glorified in the sending forth of his son in the due season, at the right time, in the opportune time, in that very rich, ripe moment of time. God fulfilled his promise that he would send his son, and he did. The Messiah came. So now we're 2,000 years down the road, and we know the book of Revelation is a prophecy. Five times in your book, in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, Revelation 22, 7, 10, 18, and 19, this book is called a prophecy. And a prophecy in the Greek there is a prophetia, which is a foretelling of things to come, or foretelling of future events. So just like Yeshua was foretold to come, but 4,000 years later, he finally came in the epoch of time, in the Kairos moment of God. It took 4,000 years. So a lot of people look at the book of Revelation and they say, well, that prophecy was written 2,000 years ago. Surely it's already been fulfilled, like your hyper-preterist, maybe some of your symbology teachers or the historians. You know, they say, well, it must be, but as a prophecy, in reality, it's just waiting for its moment of time. And the book of Revelation, and here's what it says, and I'll just read it to you in Revelation 1 in verse 3. It says, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Well, that word time is again the kairos. So the time, again, a fixed or definite time, okay? A time when things are brought to crises. That's the definition. When things are brought to crises, that time is at hand. And that word at hand is eges in the Greek, and it simply means it's a time where God's going to squeeze and throttle everything. Everything is going to be brought to that moment of crisis, going to be squeezed in, pressed in together. And that's where we get the tribulation from, the pressure, okay, the pressing, the squeezing of time. So right now, it appears very evident that the entire world that we live in, this earth, this planet called earth, that everything is being brought once again to a time of crisis. And after 2,000 years of waiting for a prophecy to be fulfilled, it appears that if nothing else, we are candidates, we're qualified to be that generation to whom the prophecy would come. And so we're looking at a time, and you look around you, do we see a squeezing, a pressing together? Are we sensing a global crisis with weather patterns, terrorism, man's hearts, technology, artificial intelligence, rebellion, hostility, violence? I mean, what are we looking at in the world in which we live? We see it very clearly when we look through the biblical lens that everything is coming to that moment. And that means that this prophecy that was given 2,000 years ago has special meaning to our generation, the generation that has witnessed the fig tree blossom once again, the generation that is witnessing Israel become a nation after over 1,900 years of dispersion. We are witnessing what Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge would increase, or technology. We're the generation that is witnessing that they would be flying on eagle's wings and traveling all over the world. We're the generation that is participating of every prophecy that was said would come in the last days. And so for us, it is the wisdom of God to look to the scripture, particularly the book of Revelation, which, by the way, Daniel was told it would be a closed book, that men would run to and fro and they would be seeking wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But because the revelation was closed, the book was closed, you could read it, but there was no understanding. There was no way to really say, well, there it is. Look at this prophecy. It's happening. But now in our generation, a third grader could read the book of Revelation and go, wow, look at this. It's really happening. Why? Because the book is opening. And we know that it was sealed with seven seals. And so all we have to do is go to chapter 6 and look at the first seal and see if there's anywhere in our world at any time in the last 2,000 years, particularly in our generation, since Israel became a nation, if the first seal had opened. And then we could look at the second, third, fourth, and fifth seal, which I believe we have abundance of evidence that the first five seals of the book of Revelation have already been open in our generation. So we're going to get into this and study it because I think it's important that the saints of God understand what time it is. And if there's ever been a purpose for the prophetic, it wasn't just to, you know, blow trumpets and tell people what time of the year it was, which is very true. The shofar would be blown like it was yesterday, declaring to the communities of God all over the world that, hey, the great feast is on the way. The great feast of tabernacles is coming. Only the rabbinical teaching said that the Feast of Trumpets was the new year. No, it was not. That was not the intended purpose. The intended purpose for the blowing of the trumpets yesterday was to awaken the minds of all the Israeli people everywhere in the land to declare unto them that the new moon had come. It was the time, and the way that they blew those trumpets was very specific. It was time to get ready for the Feast of Tabernacles, the greatest feast and the last feast in Israel's agricultural economy. So the people would start making their preparations. They would gather together all that they were going to bring to the feast. They would get their houses in order. They had a promise that when they went to the feast, God would take care of their land. They didn't have to worry about it. And so the trumpet sounded, but there's also a trumpet sound in the prophetic to declare unto God's people the things that are coming, or more specifically, what time is it? You know, there's an old song. Does anybody know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Well, God's people ought to be caring about what time it is. And if we can open an ancient document, a book with a prophecy 2,000 years ago, and begin to see that prophecy coming to pass or being fulfilled in our generation, that should be of major interest to God's people everywhere. And so we're going to get into the book of Revelation while we're broadcasting on this, what are we on, Facebook, and while we're also proclaiming on radio. We want to get into this prophecy again because it has deep meaning. So I just shared with you that a part of the book of Revelation, now I'm going to go back to verse 1, and I'm going to show you how this works, if I may. I just want to show you how this works in Revelation chapter 1, because the very first few words has brought a division in the thinking of the body of Christ, because people take one of two paths. Okay, so let me just bring it out the way it is in the Greek, in the way that we've studied it. And this is the final prophecy. Remember, five times it's called a prophecy. Now, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So right there, that phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1, people have written books, they've had theological discourses, and they have just gone way away with the idea. Well, this is the revelation or the unveiling or the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. So in other words, everything in this book is about the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And that's where people have gone. But it goes a little further and it says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So now we have God giving to Jesus Christ revelation. And then it goes on a little further to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. All right, so let's stop right there for just a moment. There's a lot to unpack in this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So obviously, the prophecy is concerning things that must shortly come to pass. The revelation, the unveiling, the apocalypse, the prophecy was given to Jesus Christ. But I have no problem with bringing both streams together and recognizing that this is a prophecy of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, but it is also a prophecy of the unveiling of future things that will come upon the earth, things that will come. And then Jesus Christ, who received the prophecy from God, he gave it to his servants, the doulos. And that isn't just a casual servant. That servant there that he gave this prophecy to were sanctified vessels who were holy and pure and had become bond slaves of the ministry of Jesus Christ. They weren't just casual Christians that go to church doing their own thing. These were the bond servants like the Apostle Paul, whose lives were completely sold out and under the controlling power of the Holy Spirit. Their life was not their own anymore. And so the revelation that God gave to Jesus of things to come, Jesus gave to the servants, and then it was for what reason? To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, I want to give you a little Greek unveiling, okay? First of all, the word shortly. Immediately what comes to mind when people read the book of Revelation, well, look, it was written 2,000 years ago, and it has to shortly come to pass. Surely 2,000 years is not shortly, unless, of course, you look at the word shortly. Now, the word shortly in the Greek comes from two Greek words. The word for shortly is entakos, entakos. The word en, which is en, simply means with, with. The word takos, which is takhos, literally means speed. So in other words, the word shortly means with speed. So the things which must come to pass shortly, in other words, things are going to happen with speed. Things are going to begin to take place with speed. So in other words, when the time comes for the prophecy to be fulfilled, it's going to be a suddenly moment that with speed, everything is going to begin to happen. It's not that it was going to happen 2,000 years ago. It's just when the opportune season comes, when the ripe time comes for this prophecy to be revealed or to commence, it's going to happen with speed. Then it goes on to say, All right, so let's look at it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly or with speed come to pass. Now, the word come to pass is genomai. That phrase there, come to pass, is genomai in the Greek. And that word simply means come into existence or come upon the world stage. So what's going to happen in this revelation, this prophecy of the end times, is that it's going to come with speed and suddenly it's going to appear on the world stage. Right now, the curtain has been closed. There's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but the time is going to come where God's going to pull back the curtains, and there it is on the stage. All the events that are being spoken of in this book are going to appear, and they're going to come with speed. Kind of like on 9/11/2001, our world shifted. Look how fast everything changed on 9/11/2001. That one event changed the entire global system of things. And you know that's true, and I know that's true. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But that's how suddenly things can happen. And I'm going to show you how 9/11/2001 may very well have been the first seal that was opened. And I believe it's very powerful that God is revealing these things. And I'll give you just a little hint, okay, just a little foretaste. When we get to chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, that's when the prophecy begins. The first five chapters, there's no prophecy in this book. It's introduction in chapter 1. It's letters in chapter 2 and 3. It's John's being encountering God in chapter 4. Chapter 5, there's a book with seven seals. And chapter 6, when the first seal opens, prophecy begins. And it's interesting that the first four seals are four colors: white, red, black, and light green. And then if you do a little research, those four colors have everything to do with the Islamic world. They have everything to do with the colors of the flags of Islam. They have everything to do with the colors of Iran and the Palestinians and Jordan and Iraq. And you go on throughout the Middle East, those are the colors of the flag. That's a reality. And I just wonder if God didn't put those colors there on purpose, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the green colored horse, to let us know that this has to do with a people group, because the horses are not literal horses. Zechariah chapter 10, for example, tells us that Judah is his goodly horse for the battle. The white horse of Revelation 19 is not an actual horse. It's a people group. And in Zechariah, it is the people group known as Judah, the remnant, the sanctified, purified, holy remnant of God will be his battle horse. So the other horses in Revelation chapter 6 are people groups as well. And we might just look at those four colored groups, which represent the Islamic world, and see what happened from 9/11/2001, from the Arab Spring, through governmental shifting, through Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas. We may be looking into the Islamic beast. We're going to look at it, but I don't want to get too far ahead right now, just as an example. Now, again, come to pass is genomai. So suddenly with speed, when it's time for this prophecy to be fulfilled, everything is going to come into existence, and it's going to come upon the stage of the world. It's going to come upon the stage of the world. Now, by the way, the word must, let's go back just a little bit again where it says in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Things that must, and tacos genomai, right? Well, the word must there is da. D-A in the Greek, and it means, watch this. This is amazing. This is in the Greek. This is in your study materials, okay? The word means necessary or brought on by circumstances or conduct of others toward us. What? The word must means necessary or brought on by circumstances of conduct of others toward us, or towards the ecclesia, or towards the church. What's going on in the world? Let's kind of simplify for just a moment. What's going on in our world right now? 2,000 years have passed. We're in the year 2019. We're just a couple of months away from 2020. in the Gregorian calendar. We just entered into this season of the Feast of Tabernacles. Some people say we just entered into 5780. I do not believe we're going to be in 5780 until spring, which is going to be March this coming year, because that's the first month of the year, March. So if you want a new year, then I believe that we don't look at the seventh month to create a new year, even though some people say that's the civil calendar. But I do believe it's very clear that the new year 5780 will be in the Hebrew calendar coming upon us in the spring of 2020. All right. So we'll get into that a little bit later as well. And then we've also done a little research about the 220 missing years in the Bible. There are actually 220 missing years that were not added to the Hebrew calendar. And if you actually put the 220 years that have gone missing and you connect them to 5780, what you do is you come up with the year 6000. We're right there. 2020 is 6000 if it holds up under the pressure and the test. And so we're going to do a little bit more testing on that as well, which could be very significant, by the way. So what do we have then? The book of Revelation is a prophecy. It's an unveiling of Jesus Christ, and it's a revealing of things that must, or by necessity, are going to be brought on by circumstances with speed. So things are going to happen globally, because the book of Revelation covers the entire globe. You're in the book. I'm in the book. The sun, moon, and stars are in the book. Every fish in the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth, every tribe, tongue, language, everybody is in this book. Mountains, oceans, everything. Angels, demons, dragons, beasts, understanding the symbology of those things. Everything in the world is connected to the final prophecy. This is an amazing prophecy. And it's amazing how God is opening it right now to those that are seeking to understand and know these things. And so we have a prophecy that is coming from Jesus Christ to his servants. Because of necessity, they're going to be brought with speed, and they're going to appear on the world stage. And then what does it say in verse 1? And he sent and signified it. This prophecy of what was coming, he signified it or signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So John, who's on the island of Patmos for the word of God, is getting the first fruits of the revelation. And he's going to send this revelation to the servants in Asia. These are the bishops or the overseers or the angels, the messengers. They all connect in words. He's going to send this message to those in Asia. And there's a reason why there are seven churches that are going to get it, because seven is a perfect number. It speaks of the entirety of the church age and all the people of God throughout all dispensations, particularly in the last 2,000 years, okay? So he's going to signify it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, let me just say this. Everything that I just read about the testimony, he bore record, this is a legal document. This prophecy, it's like going to court to find some document of some ancient something, or something about, you know, maybe three generations back about your grandfather owned some land or something like that. There's documents in the courts of law that when retrieved or are brought out that have actual meaning because of the legal mandate upon them. This book of Revelation is a legal document. It is a legal, it is ratified in the blood of Jesus. It deals with a court. It deals with, testimony. It deals with a record. I mean, this is not just some light, whimsical Nostradamus prophecy. This is a legal document, which means this has been ratified in the blood. It's going to come to pass. It has authority to it. The book of Revelation prophecy has authority. You're not hearing this preached anywhere, folks. I'm telling you right now, you're not hearing this in too many circles. Hope to God it's being preached all over the world. But you're talking about a prophecy that God wants to share with you that has a legal authority to it, a privilege and a right. And that's why he says this in verse 3. Blessed is he that reads. Now, that doesn't mean just reading. It means reading with articulation. Whoever reads this book or this prophecy with articulation, and presentation and understanding. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear. But you know, the prophet said they have ears to hear, but they don't understand. So it's not just that you're hearing these words. It's that you are, because of articulation, presentation by the Holy Spirit, you are understanding what God is saying about this book. And I hope even now that the Holy Spirit has downloaded something in your spirit about this, just the first couple of verses that we're reading. Can you imagine the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of the rest of this document? We need to understand it in our generation. So blessed is he that reads, they that hear the words of this prophecy, the words of this prophecy, and then keep those things which are written therein. So guard this stuff, okay? Guard this word. Hear the words of this prophecy. Understand it is a prophecy for the time, the kairos, is at hand. And again, kairos is, or the time there is kairos, and that again is the definition of a fixed or definite time. So this prophecy isn't just lingering, a wandering cloud. No, it has destiny to it. Just like the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah took 4,000 years, but that was a fixed and definite time that he would come. God knew all about it before it happened. And this prophecy is a fixed and definite time when this prophecy will commence. And ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that we've already witnessed the commencement of this prophecy, and it is at hand, which means it will be squeezed or throttled. And that's when the pressure comes. Because when this begins, which I believe it has on 9/11, 2001, and I'll tell you why on another broadcast, but we're going to go step by step here. And as usual and as always, the beauty of this moment is I get to share the pulpit with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy, saying good morning to her. How are you, Patricia Joy? Xavier, good morning.
Well, good morning. Are we supposed to be together on this, or does it go back and forth?
Well, if you come in a little closer, we could be together.
No, I'm talking about what I saw yesterday that you were able to accomplish with...
That's only if you're on another, like if you're on your computer upstairs.
Okay, all right, understood.
So if you wanted to use your computer upstairs, I could actually bring you and split the screen with you.
Okay, well, we'll do it tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow I have Daniel with me.
We'll do it Thursday.
Thursday it is. You got a deal. So how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I'm excited because I have one more day to get it right. And that is to understand the truth and the glory of what God's presence is all about in this day. You mentioned something regarding the glory of God and what he would represent today. Why is God being glorified today? You brought that up. And something just came into my heart about it very strongly. I'd like to read it to you, if I may. Therefore, our purpose as Christians is to reflect the Lord, not ourselves. We don't reflect ourselves. We must learn how to follow his spirit, be cleansed by his spirit, filled with his spirit, and then walk by his spirit so that we can show forth his likeness to the world and not our own. And, you know, when I thought about that, I thought, oh, my goodness, that is so incredible, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. And God is going to be glorified in his people. And that is what it's all about. And this is our preparation. We are going to and are becoming glorified because Christ in us is represented now. And he is going to take his people, all that are his manifested sons of God. And by that, I mean his elect. And by that, I mean the remnant. And he is going to be glorified in them, and we will outrage Christ, and they will be able to see what Christ is all about and how he really looks. And isn't that a wonderful, absolutely incredible experience for any of us that are alive and remaining today? Are you ready for it? Are you ready to go ahead and accomplish this very thing? It's the Holy Spirit in you just allowed to have his way.
Well, amen and amen, Patricia Joy, Xavier, very, very good. I'm adding banners over here. We got all kinds of great stuff we're doing. Patricia, I want to ask you a question. Today, we were on a phone call with our dear friend, And he was explaining to us about things that are happening in his business. And I heard you and he talking together, and you were both saying, man, this is coming so fast. Was that accurate?
That was totally accurate.
All right. So things are coming in the 5G network, artificial intelligence, technology. Things are coming down so fast. And I just wanted to share with our audience that that is exactly what we're talking about with the book of Revelation, that it would come with speed, that things would happen so fast. And because of necessity, things would be brought to a place of crises. And it would have to do with things concerning you and I as believers. Patricia, this prophecy in the book of Revelation is amazing. And because it's coming so fast, we need to know what kind of people we ought to be in this time, having total deliverance, salvation, healing, restoration accomplished in our lives. Speak into that.
Well, as I said earlier, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct your path. Let him bring in the likeness of Jesus Christ. But there is a war that is ensuing, and that war is against the evil one, Satan himself. And it is proclaimed by Lucifer. And Lucifer is that outlet, that placement of Satan here on earth in individuals that have made a decision to follow him. And there are many, many at this point with great power, great money, and allowance to do so. So how do we represent that which is correct on this earth? We must be fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. We must be filled by the Holy Spirit and fulfill the promise that has been given to us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I say thank you, everyone. God bless you for doing so.
Amen, and amen to that. So again, Patricia and I are here. We are broadcasting for the purpose of equipping and preparing the body of Christ to stand in the gap and to stand in these last days. We should have a spirit of adventure in us right now to realize that we're on this earth and we have front row seats to the unfolding of the final prophecy to ever be spoken on this earth. There's not coming another prophecy. The book of Revelation prophecy is the final word of God. And we need to know that this final word of God is connected with us and we are connected to it. And so we have to, in that spirit of adventure, get ready for what is coming down the pike. And I know that there seems to be an excitement in a lot of Christians because they see the same signs that we see, but they interpret somehow in the scriptures that this means that the imminent pre-tribulational rapture of the church is at hand. In fact, most of your Bible teachers who believe in a pre-trib rapture will tell you that Revelation chapter 4, right there, is where the church is gone and nothing else that happens. So in other words, they're not even here for the opening of the first seal. Now, this doctrine of the pre-trib rapture, where they're telling us that we're not here in chapter 4, first of all, I want to tell you, Revelation chapter 4 has nothing to do with a pre-tribulational secret imminent rapture. And we need to go back to the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look and expose this imminent pre-trib rapture doctrine for what it really is. It is a misunderstanding. For some reason, the reason why either they're doing it out of ignorance or the devil has brought a doctrine of demons to ill-equip and not prepare the saints of God for what we're going to go through. And we're going to prove that. It is so clear in 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to go there. Patricia Joy, your thoughts at this point.
Well, my thoughts on this whole situation is that Satan comes to bring confusion within the church, within the body of Christ. By doing so, he will be able to overpower and overcome those that are weak in the faith. He's doing the same thing on the earth today. He is bringing division. He brings division so that he can destroy and then conquer and then take over in another order. And that order will be the New World Order. So what we're dealing with right now is confusion in the church, so the power of God will be limited. But we know very well that there will not be a mid-trib rapture. That will not happen. Or a pre-trib
Trib. Pre-rib?
But the point I'm trying to make is that it will come when we resurrect from the dead, and those who are alive and remaining will go secondly, and those who are already passed that love God, knew the Lord Jesus Christ, will go first. And so that is what pre-trib, mid-trib is all about, the rapture. Folks, we will go up, if you want to call that the rapture. But the truth of the matter is, it's the resurrection of the dead. And if we don't believe that and put all our mind and soul into a rapture rather than a resurrection, the Bible tells us that we are without any religion.
All right, very good. So let's do this. Let's go for just a moment to, I want to show this out there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Here's what the Bible actually says about the imminent pre-tribulational rapture. Now, we've said this before, but our platform is expanding a little bit, and we want to make this very clear to our listeners. Number one, we're not just wrestling for the sake of I'm right, you're wrong. We believe that this is such an important issue that it needs to be talked about again and again. Because when you stop and think about the ramifications of what the Bible says will happen in the days that we're living in right now, as we see an acceleration of events and a prophecy ready to be unveiled, I mean, this is important. We need to know, hey, if I'm out of here in a pre-trib rapture, then let me know. I want to know it. I want to see it in the Word of God. If we're not, it could be a doctrine that's undermining the faith and will cause a great falling away in the last days. I mean, Jesus Christ did tell us in Matthew 24 that in that time, because sin will abound, iniquity will abound, that the love of many will wax cold. They will begin to betray and hate one another. I mean, who are we talking about here? 2 Thessalonians, here is the exposure to the pre-tribulation imminent doctrine, okay? Verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writing, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." By the what? By the coming of the Lord. Now, when we spend time in this, this is connected to Matthew 24 and all the different times referring to the time when Jesus Christ returns, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, and then there is a catching away of the church. It's that order. That's all there is to it. We'll talk about that in just a moment, perhaps. But Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," that glorious event, "and by our gathering together unto him." So he's referring to the gathering together. When the Lord returns, he sends his angels, he gathers together the elect of God from one end of heaven to the other. We're talking about the harvest. We're talking about that event that will happen immediately after the resurrection of the dead. It's all connected. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 15, Matthew 24. It's all there. It's very clear. You don't have to pick and choose. It's very simple. So he's referring to that event. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, he's saying this doctrine of the day of Christ is at hand. It's imminent. It's imminent. It's happening. They were already teaching people that the resurrection was already past. Paul had to deal with that issue in the book of Timothy, that there were a few guys running around overthrowing the faith of the people, telling them that the resurrection had already passed. It had not, not the one that he's talking about. And yet this doctrine is people were going around saying the day of Christ is at hand. The imminent return of the Lord, the rapture of the church is at hand. He said, no. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? The day of his coming and our gathering together unto him, except there come a falling away first. There's going to be a falling away, and here's the kicker. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is none other than Lucifer himself. Isaiah 14 makes it very clear. Same description. Oh, thou son of the morning, Lucifer, son of the morning. He says in his heart, what? I will ascend to the highest heights. I will sit in the sides of the north. I will make my throne above the stars of heaven. This is Lucifer is going to make landfall. He's going to appear. You ever notice all the TV programs right now advocating for Lucifer and for all that satanic stuff going on? It's here. And the Bible is very clear. Paul wrote that rapture, that catching up of the church, is not an imminent thing. First, the man of sin has to be revealed. And ladies and gentlemen, when the man of sin is revealed, he's going to have 3.5 years to take over the systems of this world, and he's going to have a mark. And if you're alive on this earth and you don't take the mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. We have talked about this so many times, and we're going to go into greater detail. Patricia, I think it's very clear what the scripture's saying.
Absolutely is. In Matthew 24, it makes it very, very clear that there will be a tribulation. Jesus Christ is pointing out all the various things that will take place in the last days, and then he explains what the tribulation will be like. And then he says, after these days, the Son of Man, the Son of God, will come, and he will come in great power, in great might. And this would be his second coming, to bring forth his church and to get a resurrection to the body of Christ and to be with him. And then after that, the millennium. It couldn't be any more clear. And each gospel that is talked about in the book of Revelation is also in Luke 21, also Matthew 13, no, I'm sorry, Mark 13, talks about it. And then we have Matthew 24, very clear spoken that it will be after those days that the Son of God will come.
Amen. So Patricia Joy, again, what's happening here is there are people that are just kind of sleeping right now. It's like the 10 virgins. And there's a program coming up on Omega Radio when we're done after your roundtable discussion by Glenda Lomax, where she talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. I think it's going to be an excellent teaching. What we'd like to do right now, I've got a few minutes left. This is our first time streaming live to our Facebook page on Omega Radio. Would love to know if you have been out there, if you've been hearing the broadcast, if we're doing okay. And then, of course, I'd like to open the telephone lines on Blog Talk Radio. And if somebody would be willing to join us for a little conversation, maybe something you heard today or something you'd like to share, we'd like to know if your voice will go on to Facebook as well. So if you're watching us live on Facebook right now, when we get a call coming in from Blog Talk Radio, we want to know if you can hear their voice. So please, somebody that's on Blog Talk Radio, the number is 818-369-0326. Would you mind giving us a call? Just press 1 on your dial pad, and then we'll bring you into the broadcast, and we'll just have a little chit-chat or hear something very weighty coming out of you about what we're talking about. We don't want to lose that. So we're just waiting for your call. And again, if you're watching us, we want to say hello to our friends that are out there that appear to be looking on the Omega Radio page to the live stream. And I'm seeing a lot of folks on the telephone. So just somebody, please press 1, give us a call, say hello. We'll have a little conversation. And then our friends on Facebook, would you please let us know in a comment as to whether or not you could hear the caller? So we're waiting for somebody out there right now on Blog Talk Radio. Please press 1 on the dial pad, and let's have a conversation. We want to bring you into the broadcast, and we want to do it's a minor little test to see if you will be heard on the video stream. And while we're waiting for their call, I also want to mention we're 12 days away from the Great Feast of Tabernacles, 12 days away from the Feast of Tabernacles. We are now what the rabbis taught, and again, it's rabbinical teaching, and rabbis have been wrong before. They did kill the Messiah. Anyways, they teach that we're in the 10 days of awe. This is a time of introspection, examination. But the blowing of the trumpets that happened the other day on Rosh Hashanah was to awaken the mind of God's people to get them prepared for the Feast of Tabernacles, the great feast of Tabernacles, the feast that Jesus, Yeshua, showed up on. Now, somebody out there on Blog Talk Radio, we're waiting for you to just press 1, please. We need you to give us a call. And I know we've got some friends out there. The lines are lit up. So please press 1 on your dial pad so I could bring you in. Somebody, don't be shy. We're going to bring you into the broadcast. We need you to do it. Don't wait for somebody else, please. Thank you very much. It will be a great help to us. So again, the Feast of Tabernacles is coming up in 12 days. We're looking for plane flights from our dear friend Daniel Seckham. Will be joining us on the air. And you know what? Maybe, Patricia.
We got a call.
Where's that?
Michael Smith, and he said that he pressed one, nothing happened.
All right, let me bring Michael on. Well, we don't know who Michael Smith is. That's somebody else. But I do see another guy calling. Let me get this guy here. This is coming from our friend Bill. So let's take Bill's call. So good morning, Bill. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Sorry that we waited so long to get your call. How are you today?
Well, we're just checking your test out there, Pastor, listening to the show, so I didn't know if it showed up or not.
Okay, well, we just heard somebody else tried to call in. They pressed one, but it didn't show up. But I thank you. Yours did show up. And now we just need somebody on.
What I did was I sent a text message to you and Pastor Pat when you kept talking and it didn't show up. I thought, well, let me send a text message to let you know that I've been pushing one.
Okay, very good. Well, we appreciate that. And Kevin out on Facebook land says that you sound good, which means that you're coming through loud and clear. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. God bless you. All right. Very good. Let me go over here. And we've got somebody that actually did press the one on the dial pad from South Dakota, our friends. Ken and Kathy, how are you?
Hello. Good morning. We're traveling, so I'm on a cell phone, and I picked you up that way. And I had to press the one three times, so I don't know what's happening. But we're hearing you, but apparently there's some disconnection somewhere because I had to press it three times before
That's
I got
good.
In. Ken? No.
We'll get it
okay.
right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything on your heart?
Yes. Okay. We're speaking about the timetable that we're in. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says that God's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness.
Amen.
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah, that fits really well. And that is in Romans chapter 9, that again, that when this prophecy begins, it's going to happen with speed, and it's going to happen fast, and it's going to commence, mm-hmm. and it's going to continue till the very end. And that's why we believe, and we're going to probably get into this later, that we're already into five seals on this, and we have evidence to prove that. So it's going fast. Amen.
Amen. I don't want to cut there. I'm done.
Okay, all right. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, we have another call coming in as well. It looks like it's there. So you see what's happening? This is a little bit, we need to refresh this is what I'm going to do. And maybe that'll take care of some things. And oops. All right. So we're just seeing a little bit of a delay, I guess it is. Let's take this call. And that just showed up a little late. All right. So that's enough testing right now. What we've done is we've seen Kevin says everybody sounds great. Sean says we can hear you. Looking to our dear friends over in London right now. Clarence is watching from Mitcham, London. He's all the way from London. God bless you, Clarence. And we're glad to be sharing with you. I wonder how your journey is going. We're trusting that you're having an incredible journey. And so God bless you. Patricia, your thoughts? We've got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast.
I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 15, starting in 18, that has to do with the resurrection. And it's very important, I think. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, in other words, just in Christ alone, we are of all men most miserable. Isn't that amazing? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You hear what that is? He became the first fruits of them that slept and those who died in Christ, in the Lord Jesus, and also in Yahweh for believing that there will be a Messiah. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, which we know when he resurrected from the dead. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. What will happen at his coming? They will be resurrected from the dead as his first fruit at his coming. It mentions nothing about a surprise coming, a secret coming, a pre-coming, a mid-coming coming. It mentions nothing of that. Afterward, that are Christ's at his coming. That is when they will come to him, be resurrected and lifted up, which people call the rapture. Then cometh the end, right after that, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So he is going to be reigning until that moment of time, until all enemies are put under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? When does this take place? Obviously, at the coming of the Lord. It doesn't come any other time. And the rapture theory is totally out of
the pre-trib rapture.
The pre-trib
mm-hmm.
and the mid-trib is totally out of the will of God. We have to be very careful of this, because when we bring forth the word to anyone, if we are not doing it in truth, we will have to stand before God with that. And many are being deceived because of it. So please be wise. Read the word. Understand the word. And you can only do so by the Holy Spirit. And as my husband said, if we're wrong, show us.
Amen. 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 So what we're going to do now, Patricia, we have about 2 minutes left in the broadcast. We have tested our program today. You know, it's a whole new ballgame. What we want to do is just, we want to, the platforms and the pulpit to minister the word of God. I believe we have some awesome understanding that God is granting, and he's wanting to share it with you. I'm going to ask you to go back and really take a listen to the things that we've said, and, you know, look at that book of Revelation as a prophecy. Read it. Find your place in it. Study the Gospels concerning the last days. Study 2 Thessalonians. And it's, again, not for who's right and who's wrong. It's let's get ready. Let's watch. Let's be sober. Let's pray. Remember, it'd be like the days of Noah. We're seeing floods all over the place here. I mean, is that not like God saying, hello? I think it is. And remember also that after this broadcast on the Omega Radio Network, the audio Omega Radio, that's our radio station that broadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Up next will be Deliverance, the roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy and her roundtable guests. And they talk about some powerful things. You won't be disappointed there. You're going to learn a lot. Right after that comes Bob Hagen, a dear friend of ours in Virginia. Bob has a message. He's giving these 30-minute sermons that are just packed with wisdom. The one he's teaching right now on the blood of Yeshua is amazing out of Hebrews. Stay tuned to that. And then right after that, Glenda Lomax, her parable on the 10 virgins for the time we're living in right now. And then we just continue to broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. We'll be back tomorrow with Daniel on the Facebook page with him live, just like I've been live today with a split screen or however that works. But we tested it last night. That was good. And again, the whole point is to just get the word out. And if you like to listen, you can go to Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio. If you like to watch, you can go to our Facebook page on Omega Radio. That's it now. Keep your mind. Doo-doo, the trumpet sounded 12 days away. The Great Feast of Tabernacles. We're making ready here. We hope you're getting ready. Patricia, say goodbye for one more time.
Goodbye, all. And I pray with all my heart that the truth is being spoken, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God bless you.
Amen and amen. God bless everybody. Shalom.